Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, Ben B?
Ben B. Did you ever tell that story on here,
by the way? I did, but for those who are not avid listeners of Millennial Sports Talk, which, by the way, this is episode 29, and I'm Michelle Margot, and this is Ben Verlander. His last name does not start with the letter B, but I will tell you that every single time he emails me, for some reason, his setting on his email comes through as Ben B. No last name, but the last initial is B. So
I still haven't figured that out. I haven't figured it out. I went into my settings. I changed I saw where I made that mistake, and I fixed it. But it still comes through as Ben B. And so now 90% of my emails are titled Ben Verlander, just because my name comes through as Ben B.
It could just be a little sketchy that your emails come in as incognito for me. Ben yeah. Verlander never emails me. It's always Ben B.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm not proud of it. I don't know how we got here. I wish it would change. I've emailed some, like, you know, I send some important emails that go through as Ben B. I'm not proud of this. And now I'm being ridiculed.
Ridiculed. Can I just tell you that today has been a really good day? And can I tell you why?
You sure can.
Thank you for the permission. So I run a 3-mile loop every day, small flex. And I see the same gentleman every single time that I run it. Sometimes I run it twice a day, another small flex.
Jesus.
But I see the same guy, and he looks identical to the Minnesota Twins manager, Rocco Baldelli. I mean, literally looks just like him, except he never wears shoes. Very weird. It's a little loop, a little trail around a golf course, and he doesn't wear shoes. I know.
Is he barefoot?
He's barefoot, and he's built just like Rocco Baldelli.
That guy has the toughest feet on the planet.
I know, and it's so hot here too, so I really don't know how he does it, but I see him every day, okay? So the point is that I see him every day, and I'm just describing so you can have like an image of what he might look like. So I see Rocco 2.0 every day, and I'm kind of like, hey, but he doesn't know who I am, and I'm just like, okay, he doesn't recognize that I see him every day. That's fine. Because maybe I don't stand out like way he does because I'm wearing shoes and I fit in with the rest of the population on the trail. So for the last couple days, I've been going and I haven't seen him. And I started to get a little concerned. Like, is he alive? Is he okay? I don't know. I feel this loyalty, like obligation to make sure he's okay, but I don't know him. And then this morning I saw him again. And I was like, oh my God, Rocco 2.0, you're alive. Like, where have you been? I know that it's not because you haven't been running, because I'm out on that trail at least twice a day, which is like a solid, you know, there's only certain hours that people go because it's so hot.
Right.
And he didn't acknowledge my presence at all, which is usual. I mean, I smiled and was just like, oh my God, good to see you, Rocco 2.0. And I just figured, like, yeah, there's a lot of petite brunettes running that trail, but like not all of them are good Samaritans. And why doesn't he notice me? Because I really care about his safety. But either way, it was a good day to know that he was fine.
After hearing the story, I'm not so sure. Like, you say it was a good day, but you also sound like upset that he doesn't understand who you are.
So I'm not upset. I guess I just don't feel like the love is reciprocated.
That's fair.
Like, if I went missing, is he ever going to notice?
That's fair.
I feel really good that he's still around.
I'm happy for you. I myself have been frustrated today, I think would be a good term, because I'm not sure if you saw what happened in the Padres game last night, Padres and Rangers.
Mm.
But the game was 10-3. Okay. Fernando Tatis comes up with the bases loaded and a 3-0 count. He swings and hits a grand slam. Awesome. You know what happened? The other team's manager was pissed after the game. Like, went off on him saying he shouldn't be swinging in a 3-0 count. And I woke up this morning and it was all over social media, all over Twitter. And I ended up tweeting out something. I do not understand, Michelle. I do not. This isn't Little League. And this manager of the Rangers is frustrated because this 21-year-old stud athlete is doing his job to the best of his ability. And his ego got hurt because they were losing a game by a lot.
It was like, poor sportsmanship. It's what he is his recollection of what happened, correct? That's what he's claiming, that it was poor sportsmanship, that he shouldn't have done it.
The old unwritten rule in baseball.
In basketball, you hold the ball to run out the clock, that kind of thing.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I mean, I can tell you disagree. I certainly disagree.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling to me. One, it was a 10-3 game. How many times have you seen people come back in late innings 10-3? Are the odds in their favor? No, but does it
happen? How many outs were there?
In the eighth?
It was the eighth.
It wasn't even the ninth inning.
Yeah, that's questionable. I mean.
Or it was the seventh inning. It wasn't. Multiple times a year you see teams come back from seven runs in a game. It's mind-blowing to me. Tatis ended up apologizing, saying he got talked to by his manager, his manager was frustrated that he missed a sign and ended up swinging. But he apologized and said it might not have been the right time to swing. Screw that.
I don't think he missed his sign. I think he purposely saw a strike and was like, I'm going to hit this baby.
Oh, yeah. Look, and this is my point. This is my point. Baseball is a business when you get to the professional level. It is a business. You are paid. You put food on the table for your family by your batting average, the number of home runs you hit, and the number of runs you bring in. He did all of that in one at bat and really helped his stats. And at the end of the year, people aren't going to look back and say, okay, Tatis had this many home runs. He took this many pitches on 3-0. Ooh, good, good, good. That's not how it happens.
Right.
This is his livelihood. Why? It's mind blowing to me. It's mind blowing.
Well, on that note, we'll switch to something positive. Our GOAT moment of the week. I chose a lot. You always choose really good feel good ones, which I cannot compete with. So, because I don't like to feel good. No, I chose Nationals pitcher Steven Strasburg. He was sitting in the fan section, section 121 at Citi Field, in a game that he wasn't pitching, and he was arguing balls and strikes with the umpire. And he got ejected for saying you're flipping brutal. So I thought you are epic for getting tossed out of a game when you are Steven Strasburg in the stands arguing balls and strikes.
The best part of all this, the situation is hysterical. The best part of all of it is he gets ejected. And he can't go in through the dugout because of all the COVID regulations. He has to walk up to the concourse of the stadium wearing his shorts and t-shirt. And he has to go into the clubhouse from up on the concourse. I thought the whole situation was honestly hysterical.
And hilarious.
My brother has been thrown out of the game from the dugout. So it wasn't quite like in the stands. But yeah, I always think it's funny when a pitcher is chirping from the dugout. Or
I love it. That's,
in this instance, the stands.
That's teamwork. That's having your boys back.
There's always code words, though. You know the code words you can and can't say. For example, and it's just, these are another one. We were just talking unwritten rules. You know what you can and can't say. If I'm frustrated at the plate at an umpire, I can say, that's effing terrible. But I cannot say F you.
Oh.
You're effing terrible.
It's if those you statements.
It's the yous. And that's an automatic ticket back to the clubhouse, which sometimes you want. You know, he probably was like, I'm over being out here. I just want to go sit in the locker room.
He's also starting against the Orioles the following start, so like I don't think he's too worried. No offense. Well, we have not at all told any of you guys who our guest is this week yet. Mm-hmm. And I believe now is the time to unleash this lovely addition to the Millennial Sports Talk podcast, EP 29. We have mixed martial artist Ryan Bader coming on in just a few seconds here. He is the Bellator MMA double champ, defending his light heavyweight world title against Team Fedor's Vadim Nemkov this Friday, August 21st on Paramount Network and DAZN at 10 p.m. Eastern. Nemkov is a protege of Fedor Emelianenko, who Bader defeated to win the heavyweight world title. And he comes into this fight on a 6-fight winning streak with his last 3 wins, all coming against former world champions. So the preliminary fights begin at 7 p.m. Eastern on the Bellator YouTube channel. And without further ado, let's welcome in Ryan Bader.
What's up, Ryan? How you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm just in the hotel out in Connecticut, finally here. You know, fight's been canceled, you know, in May. And so I'm just glad we're finally doing it.
Yeah. So this weekend is a huge fight for you. Title fight to retain the belt. You've been in a lot of professional fights. Where does this weekend rank in terms of excitement? You know, all of that. Where does this weekend's fight rank for you?
Yeah, to be honest, just like every other one. You know, people ask that you don't realize, yeah, it's a title fight and all that, and defending my belt. Any fight you have is huge because you're either taking one step closer to where you want to be, you know, say it's just a regular fight and you want to fight for the title eventually, or, you know, you're coming off a loss, you don't want 2 in a row. So every fight is huge for a fighter, and you go through the same emotions. For me, it's almost like there's less stress. You know, I have belts in both divisions. There's no fans. There's no hoopla going around, you know, in the arena. It's almost like you're going out there for a hard Friday spar, you know, and that's where I feel like I'm my best when I'm relaxed and collected.
Yeah.
What would you say is the biggest common misconception about Bellator or MMA?
Just MMA in general.
Whichever one you want to answer.
Yeah, that we're, you know, I think it's getting better. But a lot of times you have the stigma, you know, especially 10 years ago, that we're all just like brawlers from the bar stool and all that, you know. Well, that couldn't be further from the truth. You're getting world-class athletes in here, you know, and, you know, I'm college educated. I wrestled at ASU, you know, it's, and you're getting a lot of those athletes in here. So, and another misconception that we like to go out there and hurt people. And that couldn't be further than the truth, from the truth either. You know, I love to compete. I've competed my whole life in wrestling and football. And when I was done wrestling in college, I was missing something. And wrestling, you have to go for the Olympics after, you know, after college. But I was done with that. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. You know, I can use my wrestling. I want to compete. And so that's probably the biggest one.
Yeah. So you said you were on the show The Ultimate Fighter, and you ended up winning it, and that kind of launched your career into the UFC. Out of college, if that show didn't happen for you, if you didn't get on that show, if you didn't win, if you didn't get your contract that way, did you have a plan, like how you were going to break in or how you were going to go about it?
Yeah, you know, being on the show wasn't necessarily the best thing, you know. I believe I would have gotten into the UFC regardless. You know, it's one of those things where we had to make a decision. Do we want to go the Ultimate Fighter route, or do we want to, you know, get our fights in and do it the other way? The other way usually has a better contract on your, you know, your first couple fights. And so that's what our thinking was. But I had a friend that went on before, the season before. Mm-hmm. We were both, you know, All-Americans, Division I All-Americans of Wrestling. And so he went on, had a great time, put in a good word. And then I went and interviewed, basically, and got a spot there. And I wouldn't change it any other way. You know, the only thing is you're in the Ultimate Fighter contract, you know, for a while. And it wasn't until I fought Rampage Jackson in Japan. They were like, hey, you want to fight Rampage? I was like, yeah, but we got to redo a contract here, you know? So, yeah, I would have gotten there. It would just been two separate ways.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you wrestled at ASU. Obviously, with COVID, you know, there's the spring sports got canceled and the fall sports, a lot of places are getting canceled. Go back to your college days. If you were in a situation like a global pandemic, how would you feel if your season essentially got canceled?
If it got moved back this spring, I'd be kind of happy, actually. because we, you know, we were the track team, the swim team, the everything, because they ran us into the ground in a good way. You know, but we started in summer and we went all the way to end of March. You know, we never had a spring break. We never had a fall break, nothing like that. We were wrestling, grinding, making weight, you know, so that wouldn't be a bad thing if wrestling was in the spring. But if it got canceled, you know, that's why I went down to ASU on a scholarship, you know, to wrestle, to compete. And so that would be pretty devastating. And then looking back on where it's gotten me into the MMA world, you know, it's not only a season of wrestling, but you could be talking about potentially a career, you know, in these football players, baseball players, you know, even more so.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You mentioned how, you know, fighting right now with no fans is sort of similar to sparring basically. And it made me, you know, I played baseball professionally for 5 years. And when I was, you know, in spring training or on the backfields or taking live BP off a pitcher with nobody there, it's a totally different feel. And you're right. It is almost like I can relax. I can do exactly what I've been practicing for. You don't get overhyped. Like You're not too juiced up. So you saying that actually made, like, do you feel like you're a better fighter with nobody there, so you're not too amped up? Does that make sense?
Yeah, 100%. And then, you know, even speaking about the Ultimate Fighter, there was only production in our teams there too. So there was only about 40 people, if that, in the warehouse when they filmed that show when we fought also.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been there before. Definitely. Like, the, you know, if you have 20,000 fans in there in an arena, there's definitely energy and you get a little nervous energy with that. And, you know, they can kind of dictate the fight a little bit, you know, with their cheers or their boos or whatever it is, you know, it might get you to do something that you normally wouldn't do or go a little spazzy or something when you need to be collected, you know, so 100%.
So I like to think outside the box and do some rapid fire questions. Do you think you can handle it?
Probably not.
Okay, we'll you'll be fine. All right, I'll start easy. What is your biggest pet peeve?
When people say they're going to do something and don't.
I hate that too. What has been the highlight of your career?
Highlight of my career was winning the second belt. I had the light heavyweight belt, and I won the heavyweight belt by defeating one of the greatest heavyweights of all time in a Grand Prix style tournament, and a legend that I looked up to when I was coming up in Fedor. So that was definitely highlight.
That's awesome. What has been the highlight of your non-career life?
My family, got 3 kids, 8, 7, and 5, and beautiful wife. And so we've been having fun with them. And it's very cool to see, you know, your children, you know, go from newborn to where they are right now. It's pretty, pretty special.
That's awesome.
Homeschooling with Ryan Bader as a teacher.
Yeah. My patience is a little thin, but we get it done.
What is your definition of success?
My definition of success is being happy. You know, it's not monetary. It's not achievements or awards. It's doing something that's fulfilling, you know, living a good life, and making people around you happy and setting a good example. If I set a good example for my family, I'm doing something that I love. You know, I think the worst thing in life is being in a job you hate, you know, and suffering in it. And then you bring that home to your family and, you know, and then 40 years later, you know, you're done. So my whole thing is just, you know, you're successful if you live the life you want to live.
That's exactly right. What is the last text you sent?
My last text was,
why am I doing millennial sports talk with Michelle Margon?
I'll be PG on that one. it was to my wife, but my youngest son lost another tooth. So I was just saying, sweet.
So tooth fairy's coming.
Yeah, how much does a tooth fairy give in your family?
So my kids usually, for whatever reason, have, we usually do $5. And they,
like a quarter.
Yeah, it's inflation and everything. And the kids told us about that. So
true.
So anyway, so we've been on vacation and just so happens that we've had like 20s on us. And so, you know, if they have a special vacation, if they lose one on vacation, they get $20 or
something. Wow.
You're going to find them in the corners.
And so now when they get anything less, they're kind of spoiled. They're like, what the hell?
You're going to find them in the corners when y'all go on vacation, just trying to rip a tooth out when you're at the dinner table or something.
That's, I wonder what the future of Tooth Fairy looks like. Like, the Tooth Fairy Venmo'd me $10.
You're right.
What is your biggest fear?
My biggest fear kind of goes back to your other question about, you know, being successful. My biggest fear, which I'm making it my mission not to live up to, is living a life that you're not fulfilled, you're unhappy, you know. And so, you know, that kind of is my biggest fear. And luckily, I've been able to do what I've wanted to do pretty much my whole life. Right out of college, I got a sales job and I was like, I know what I don't want to do, you know. So I made it. I was like, you know what? I'm going to take my destiny in my own hands and I'm going to try this out. I'm going to try this crazy MMA thing out and bet on myself and see what happens, and quit my job, got a small sponsor, you know, and it ended up working out. So, yeah, that's my biggest fear. And I'm trying to definitely not live in that.
I feel like the majority of people don't achieve that, actually.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I think as you get older too, in your 20s, you're like, hey, I just want to make money, or I just want to do this. I don't care what kind of job I have. And as you get older, you start thinking about, okay, I want to be happy. You know, I've always waiting for this next thing. Oh, it'll be better then, or I'll be good on Friday, or this and that. And then you waste your whole life doing that.
Yeah. So this is the last but most important question I'm going to ask you in this podcast. So Ben and I, we oftentimes disagree, but nothing more than the idea of letting your dog lick your lips when you kiss them. Ben is on the side of thinking that's okay. I think it's disgusting. Where do you fall on that spectrum? Is it okay?
I wouldn't say just like we're just going lips to lips. Like I'm fine with my dog like licking my face. Like I try and avoid, like if he's licking my face, I'll like, you know, move my lips.
No, you don't.
We're not
making
out.
You go all in.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's hear his answer.
Well, you know, I'm leaning more towards the no, but you know, I'm not a germ freak at all. You know, if the dog licks me on the lips, like unexpectedly, whatever. But I know.
I lick back. You know, it's fine.
I have a German Shepherd and a Bernedoodle, Bernese Mountain Dog.
We have a Bernese Mountain Dog, but it's not a doodle.
A poodle. That's my wife's. And I see what it does out in the backyard, you know, and and I'm not letting him get anywhere near me.
But does he kiss your wife on the lips?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because that's where the real problem lies, is if you don't do it, but your partner allows it, then you're basically allowing it.
Yeah. No, she sees him eat his own poop in the backyard too.
Yeah. See, that's, I'm not, whatever. Everybody's going to think I'm crazy now. I'm not just letting him not making out with them.
I see people do it all the time. I really do. It's gross.
I know.
What's grosser is letting other people's dogs do it to you.
And oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's where you draw. That's where you draw the line.
Yeah. Well, that's it, man. Thank you so much for coming on. Good luck this weekend, most importantly. And that is it for Millennial Sports Talk this week. Be sure to check it out, download and subscribe anywhere you listen to your podcast, and we will see you next week. Thanks.
That's it.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.